Matthew 25, I'm going to start reading on verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant unto outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now turn to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word that guides us and leads us. I pray, dear Lord, that you would have your way this morning. Lord, I pray you open up the ears of everyone that will try to shut them, that they might hear, and I pray you open up all the hearts that they might understand. We pray above all things, my Lord, that you would be glorified and magnified, for only thou art worthy. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, there are many sayings in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and a lot of them are very popular with us. We like to quote what they wrote. We like to use their examples. We like to teach what they have taught us. These were holy men of God who spake, and they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But as I look through all of them, I can't relate with too many of them. I can pick out a few little things from Paul, and I can say, yeah, I relate with that part. I can pick a little things from David or Daniel or somebody and say, yeah, I can relate with a little bit of that. But for the most part, we don't relate with any one of them. But there's a lot of people in the Scriptures that we don't know too much. And I just picked up one this morning. I'm going to preach on him. He's one that I can relate very much. He's one that maybe you can relate. His name is Andrew. He was one of the 12. This guy, he seems like he lived in obscurity. There's not too much known about him. Matter of fact, when you look up how many times he appears in the Bible, it's 12 times. Out of those 12, 4 times is when the Lord is mentioning the names of all the apostles. So really, it's only 8. Compared to his brother Peter that appears 156 times. Andrew was not one of the elite, or you might say those of the inner circle. He was not invited to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. It was Peter, John, and James. He was not invited to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. You don't find him preaching and saving 3,000 like his brother Peter. He never did walk on water. He wasn't given the keys. Matter of fact, he wasn't even close to the Lord right next to him like John at the Last Supper. Nevertheless, this man had gotten a gift. And that's why I had chosen the parable of the 10 talents. And I chose the one that only got one. Just so that we can light up a little bit of illumination on Andrew. Just so that we can relate, so that we can see Andrew a little bit more clear this morning. Because it seems like Andrew only got one talent. Although he's not going to be the one that they're going to talk bad about him at the end. But there's so many Christians that the Lord will have to chastise. The thing is that if you're saved here this morning, you also have a gift. The Bible tells you in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we've all been given a gift, and we're not all supposed to preach. We're not all given the gift to teach. But there's many gifts that God has given. It's just like a football team or a baseball team or basketball. We see this in life. Not everybody gets on the court at the same time. There's going to have to be somebody on the bench. Not everybody has the same abilities. But how would you like if Tony Parker would throw the ball at Duncan, and Duncan just hits him in the chest? He says, "I can't handle it. I can't dribble like you." You wouldn't think too much of him. But the Lord has given him some talents. The same way in football. Not everybody gets on the field when they start playing. There's a lot of them that stay on the bench. They all call for certain specialties. But how would you like for the lineman, all he has to do is move out of the way and let the defensive players knock down the quarterback? We wouldn't think too much. He would also say, "Well, I'm not the one that gets the glory. I'm not the one who throws the ball. Let him run. Let him throw it." But that's the way it is in this life, and that's the way it is with the gifts that God has given us. In this life, not all have been taught or given the gift to preach or to teach. We all have different ones. And that's exactly what I have here. I have a man that had been given a gift. And that's why this morning I would just like to encourage you. Because you can make a difference. Just like Andrew made a difference. You can make a difference in this church. You can make a difference for the kingdom of God. You can make a difference in the whole world. If you would just use what God has given you. Amen. On the other hand, I chose the parable of the talents. Mainly, you notice that I just read the one with the one talent. This is the guy that didn't do nothing with it. And there's some things I can't understand. But I'll guarantee you, I believe what I read. What he said, what the Lord said about this man is not very good. I will get into that a little bit later, but one thing is real plain. God does not tolerate laziness. You don't tolerate laziness. I don't tolerate laziness. I've always hated people who are lazy. That's one of the things that I have taught my children. I don't want them to be lazy. In this life, you're going to have to work. You're going to have to work hard for what you get. The Lord, it seems like we can just sit around and do anything we want to and forget about what He has given us. He won't tolerate it. Now, I don't see in the Scriptures where God has told you that you will not, or that you will see increase all the time. But one thing He has called you is that you need to be faithful. The thing is that Christianity, my brother, is not a spectator religion. It is not one of those where all we come and sit on the pews. In many churches, that might be what they teach them, and that might be sufficient. But you always hear that 20% normally do 80% of the work. And I'm almost sure that in this church it's much higher. The work that comes out of this church is much bigger. We have many here that preach and teach. But on the other hand, I can't say that much for anybody else. I know that in most churches, people just like to sit around and just come on Sundays. Not even come on Wednesdays. They don't pray. They don't give. But you know, you have been given a gift. And God will not tolerate just sitting around and doing nothing. That's why I chose Andrew. Let me read to you first of all what Andrew does. In John chapter 1, we start first with verse 35. "Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he says, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, 'What seek ye?' They said unto him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, being interpreted, 'Master,' 'where dwellest thou?' He says unto them, 'Come and see.' They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and says unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. You know, that is the one thing that we've all have been given, that gift to tell somebody about the Lord. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't know much about the Scriptures, but I knew that I needed to tell. And I don't consider myself too smart either, but what I did is I got a gospel tract. I hadn't been brought up in a Bible-believing church. I had been brought up in a place where we didn't take a Bible to church. So immediately I grabbed some gospel tracts and I began to mark them on my Bible so that I'd be able to tell. I began going down on the streets, knocking on doors after 3 months, because I understood that I needed to use that talent. But you know, if you're here this morning and you feel that you don't have a talent, maybe you feel that you're not capable or you're not worthy or whatever your excuse might be, there is no excuse. I want you to know that the apostles were called ignorant men by God. They were not the most learned. They were not men with college degrees. But consider also another example we find in the Bible in the book of Mark, chapter 5. You remember the story of the Gadarenes, where the man was in the tombs, terrifying everybody. Everybody that would come over to the cemetery, he'd scare everybody half to death. This man, the Bible calls him a lunatic. This guy was crazy. But once he got saved, once legion was departed, once the Lord cleansed him, once he got dressed up, the first thing he says, I want to follow you. He wanted to follow the Lord. This is something that we all understand. All those that are saved, we know we need to follow the Lord. But notice what the Lord told him if you read that story in the Bible. Jesus didn't tell him, well, you need to go and preach to them about Moses and the law. He didn't tell them, you need to go out there and go expound unto them the Scriptures. But he said, no, you can't go with me, but I tell you what you can do. Go home and tell your friends. Go and tell them what the Lord has done for you, what great things the Lord has done for you, and tell them the compassion He had on you. Can you do that? You don't have an excuse. You can't say, well, I don't know the Scriptures. You can tell somebody how Jesus saved you. You can tell them the compassion He had on you. This is your own story. Nobody's going to change it. Nobody's going to challenge you. All you have to do is go tell them. Use your own story, if nothing else. I recommend you read the Scriptures and know how to lead somebody to the Lord by the Bible. You ought to be able to answer whatever question they have. But if you don't, maybe your eyesight's not too good, whatever your excuse might be, you can tell them what wonderful things God has done for you. Use all your experiences, even your trials and tribulations that you have gone through. I was talking to a lady just a few days ago. She came to my office, and I hadn't seen her in a while. And I told her, I said, do you know, did you hear that I had been operated on my heart about 7 months ago? She says, no, I didn't know that. I said, yeah, they operated on my heart. And you know what? I had no fear. She says, oh, man, you're brave. I said, no, they knocked me out with a pill. But I went on to tell her, look, the reason I really had no fear is because I knew that if I would die, I would go straight to heaven. Immediately she says, oh, you're a good man. I said, no. There is no one good, only Jesus. And He died and paid for all my sins. But you see how you can turn any kind of trial you go through, the trials that you're going through today, you can turn them around and use them for God's glory. I've used this story many times already. It has opened doors for me to witness to somebody. And after I finished talking to this lady and I began to tell her that she needed to get saved, she told me her side of the story. She told me how she had been was very down ever since her mama had passed away. But once I began to tell her about salvation and tell her about Jesus and also that her family needed to get saved, when she got up, she says, Trini, thank you so much for opening my eyes. The thing is, beloved, you don't know what God's going to do. The thing is, you are not to be discouraged. Just because you don't see any results, is that an excuse for you to quit? You ought not to think like that. You can't handle the truth. If you really knew how many people have gotten saved because of your witness, you couldn't handle it. I remember some time ago, we had started preaching in the housing projects. We wound up preaching for 7 years. And we would go, but the first day that we went out there and we preached and passed out tracts. There was one lady that was sitting there, and I went and talked to her about the Lord Jesus. I came later on and witnessed to her some more. She didn't know English very well. So what I did is I recommended her to a church, a Christian Bible-believing church here in town with Brother Carrizales. She had no way of getting to church. So what I did is I called Brother Carrizales and said, can you have somebody pick her up? And he did. A year later, Brother Carrizales came to this church to preach here. And I asked her, oh, brother, what happened to that lady? And he said, you know what? She came over the first day, and the first Sunday morning, she came to the altar and asked the Lord to save her soul. Amen. And that same lady, because of her faithfulness, she has now brought all her brothers and sisters and mom and dad. We have 35 people in church because of that lady. It's a good thing that we don't hear it all the time. If you would hear how many people have gotten saved because of your ministry, your head would be so wide, you wouldn't fit through the door. Once in a while, we get to hear of what the Lord has done in our lives. And we shouldn't expect to always know what's the number. I remember when I was in jail, I was 16 years old and I had gotten into a fight. And this young man came. I don't recall ever being witnessed to. But I do recall this young man, he didn't know too much about the Bible. But he came and he told me, Jesus loves you. And I remember that I cried. He didn't know how to handle me. He didn't know what else to tell me. But you know what he did? He says, here's my Bible. You can read it. 20 years later, I was working a part-time job. Somebody had begun to witness to me. And I remembered that man. I remember the promise that I made God. I said, one of these days, Lord, I'm going to read your Bible again. Because I read it while I was in jail, the whole New Testament, minus the book of Revelation, in 2 days. You don't have an excuse for not reading it in the whole year. I was ignorant. I was 16 years old. I had some time to read it. I remember many times I cried while reading the Bible. The Lord was touching me. But I didn't come to Him. I had nobody to disciple me until 20 years later. I remembered. And I said, Lord, I made a promise I would come back. That's when I got saved. Now, what if he wanted to know how many people have gotten saved because of my ministry? You can't handle it. He doesn't know how many people. You don't know either how many people have gotten saved because of the tract you gave. You don't know how many people actually took your word that you were preaching in the streets and they later on got saved 20 years later. You don't have any clue. And we are not to expect the Lord to reveal it to you just because you don't see the results and they're not here in church with you. You are not to get discouraged. God will give an account. You need to learn one lesson very clearly. That neither he that plants is anything, nor neither he that waters, but he that giveth the increase. We need to understand that it's God the one that takes count. It is God the one that will give you the rewards. But it's also very hard what God has to say here. God doesn't say very good things about the guy who hid his talent. I don't understand it. But I believe what he says. But I want you to also notice that Andrew, he came. He doesn't look like he understood the scriptures very well. He just came and told his brother Peter, "Hey, Peter, brother, we found the Messiah." That's all he could say. Not like Philip. When Philip went and told Nathanael, he told him the same thing. "Nathanael, we have found the Messiah." But he went a little further and he said, "We found the one that Moses and the law preached. We found the Messiah that all the prophets were preaching." Andrew didn't even have that much knowledge. Maybe he had spent all his life just fishing. He didn't know any better. But he knew enough, beloved, to take somebody to Jesus. Amen. And that's all you need to know. That's all you know. That's sufficient. You have no excuse for not doing anything. But he went and he took him to Jesus. And that's all that's required of you. You don't have to expound too strong. All you have to do is, if nothing else, tell him your story like that man from Gadara. All he had to say was, "Go tell him what great things the Lord has done for you and tell him what compassion he has." But you know, Peter learned also from listening to his brothers, from listening that all they had to do was to tell him about Jesus, that all the prophets had already preached it. Later on, when he went and preached to the house of Cornelius, remember what he told them? "All the prophets give witness that whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins." He was also using the same thing. This is also what the Lord had said. He talked to those guys on the road to Emmaus after the resurrection. You remember when these guys were all discouraged and they were just on the way home. And the Lord approached them and he began to expound to them. And finally, he says, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered?" And he expounded unto them from Moses and all the prophets concerning himself. You see, that's what we need to do also. If you can expound, that's fine. But if not, you can at least tell them Jesus loves you. Amen. You can at least tell them you need to come to Jesus. Jesus can have compassion on you. He can save you. You don't need to be a tremendous preacher. But let's go now to the same Gospel of John, chapter 6. Look at verse 5. John chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he says unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that this may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Then Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says unto him, "There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" You see what Andrew does? He don't know much, but he knows that any little thing God can bless. A little means much when God is in it. That's one of the songs that we sing. A little means much when God is in it. And that's what Andrew understood. It didn't matter to him that he was a little kid. It didn't matter to him whether he was Greek. It didn't matter to him what nationality. And the others had a lot of problem with that, but not Andrew. Andrew knew all I have to do is bring him to Jesus, and that's exactly what he did. We need to understand that it's not he who plants, and it's not him who waters, but it is God that gives the increase. So what is your gift this morning, my friend? Have you found it? The Bible says that we are to be zealous of spiritual gifts. We are to seek to edify the church. That is the number one thing that the Apostle Paul tells us. But we all have been given a gift. But just to come and sit down and do nothing about this life, just to think that God somehow will just give you, "Well, I'll be satisfied with just a little cottage right there in the corner of God's kingdom. That's what one of the songs says. And I'll be satisfied with just a little cottage way over there. God doesn't make ghettos. He only makes mansions. And He's not going to excuse you just because you say, well, I'll be satisfied with just a little hut. I'll be just satisfied with just a little umbrella on one corner. God doesn't make it, will not accept that. You need to do something. And this is what the Bible's talking about. You all have a gift. It might be on giving. It might be on exhortation. It might be on consolation. It might be maybe on preaching. I'm still trying to learn. We don't become, just because the Lord gives you a gift to preach or to teach, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you'll come in here and you'll be a tremendous orator. We have to put it on practice. Just like everybody who is in any kind of sport, they might be the fastest, but you need to practice running. You need to run some sprints. You need to do a lot of these exercises to get better and better. And that's what the spiritual gifts are all about. You need to put them to use. Either you use it or you lose it. The Bible talks about not being slothful. But go now to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Look at verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That Philip, how come he didn't go to Peter? Isn't Peter the preacher? How about John? John's so close to the Lord. Why don't he's one of the inner circles. Why don't you go to him? No, he went to Andrew. This guy still had a problem. They didn't understand too well what Andrew already understood. You remember that Peter, even after the Lord had already ascended, he had a hard time going to the Gentiles. The Lord had to rebuke him, and you find him in Acts chapter 10, where the Lord had to teach him a lesson. He had to see a miracle from heaven just so that he could understand that not to call any man unclean. What God has clean, don't call it unclean. Right. But he did not understand these things. And you see, Philip understood that Andrew had a better handle on this. Andrew knew what to do. Andrew didn't say, well, they're heathens. Well, they're not part of us. He had no problem. He immediately took him to Jesus. And that's what we have here. That's what you can do. Now, we don't see here that Philip was a great orator. We don't see him preaching where 3,000 are getting saved. We don't see him doing too many things. He wasn't given the keys of the kingdom. But let me tell you, Peter wouldn't have preached if Andrew hadn't told him. And that's how you need to consider. You don't know who you're going to reach. The man who talked to me in the jailhouse had no clue. He didn't have much. He didn't expound it on the Bible. All he did was say, hey, here's the Bible. You read it. If that's all you can do, that's fine. You don't have no clue what God's going to do. But let's go back now to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. First of all, I want you to understand that those who got the most talents, it doesn't really matter how many you have gotten, whether you got 5 or 4 or 3. If you don't use them, you will face the same consequences as the one with the one. On the other hand, I want you to understand something. The one who got 5 and the one who got 2, the Lord told them the same thing. He says, you've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to bless you with many things. They both got the same reward. You see, what the Lord's trying to say is don't feel bad, okay? I don't do much. I just don't have a good car. I can't speak too well. You can write letters. You can get on the phone and call somebody. You can invite your neighbor. You don't mind having coffee with them, but can you tell them about Jesus? But you see what the Lord is telling us here. We have this other guy who only had one talent. And this is a very sad story. Because this man, one of the things that will happen to you if you don't use the talent that God has given you, before long, you're going to become just like him. You're going to become very hard. You're going to misinterpret things. You're not going to know what's going on. Just like this man. The Lord came and he says, well, here's the talent. Let me dig it out from under the earth. Here it is, intact. I didn't use it. I didn't lose it. For some reason, he thought that that was really good. But the next thing he says, you were a hard man. Where did he learn that from? Where can you get that conclusion that God is hard? Doesn't the Bible tell you, hey, my yoke is easy? My burden is light? Doesn't the Bible tell you that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? Where is this man coming with this idea that you're a hard man? The Bible doesn't teach that. But I know who teaches it. There is a religion. I used to belong to it. And that religion used to tell me, you know, fathers are usually very hard. So when your father doesn't give you what you want, you go to the mother. And the mother is very kind, and she will always open up the back door. You can come in through the back door. I heard that many times. That's where they get this idea. That God is hard. Let me tell you, that comes from the pits of hell. That's not in the scriptures. In the Bible, we see that the whole world knows the goodness of God. The Bible says very plainly, this is the only way you come to God. I know when they told me, God loves you, it broke me. I understood He loved me. I knew it. And when I asked Him to save my soul, I was crying and crying. I had so many tears that it wetted my whole shirt. And all I could think about the goodness of God. How good He's been for me. All the suffering that He did. Maybe you want to make an excuse. Well, the thing is that I'm kind of embarrassed. The Lord took all the embarrassment for you. He's the one that was mocked. He's the one that they spit upon on His face so that you don't have to suffer that shame. All you have to do is tell them Jesus can save you. That's all they have to do. But you know, he got all that wrong, and then he says, I knew that you would also get benefit from where there hasn't been nothing sown. Where did he get that idea? That we don't have to do anything? Somehow the Lord is still going to save whoever he wants to? That's not what the scripture tells me. This guy's confused. He's wrong. The Bible tells you very plainly in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. He says, how shall they call on Him on whom they have not believed? How? He says, how shall they believe on Him on whom they have not heard? How? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How? Three times. The thing is that the answer is, beloved, you have gotten a gift. And God doesn't speak too good of those who don't use it. I'd like to encourage you this morning not to be like that one. Because what this guy heard is not something that you want to hear. I'm going to read to you again verse 30. This is what the Lord said about this man. This is on Matthew 25 verse 30. He says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant unto outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I looked at this and I said, what does that mean? Could this mean that they go to hell? No. Because we see in the scriptures that those who go to hell, the next story that he talks about, he didn't tell them that they will be cast into hell. The other ones, he says, depart from me. This one, he said, just cast them out. The other one, he says, you curse it. This guy's not cursed. The other one, he tells them, into everlasting fire. These guys were just going into darkness. Now, I can't explain it. I don't know what the Lord has prepared for those who are disobedient. I have no idea. I know that you won't lose your salvation. I know there's no such thing as purgatory. But this is still very plain to me. It's something that you need to understand and believe. God says, there's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you can interpret it any which way you want to. But don't look at it like the Lord's not going to do nothing. That all you have to do is come to church and just sit around and your job is just to be a spectator. That's not what Christianity is all about. Christianity requires people to do something. God has given you a gift. If there's nothing else you can do, why don't you put your money to the exchangers? Get somebody else to do it. Why don't you give to the missions? We have many missionaries. They would love to see some money come in from you. Let them do the work. You'll be partakers of their labor. Don't just stay around and say, I'm going to hoard it. I'm going to just keep it. I don't want to offend nobody. I just want to live my own life, leave me alone. I don't want to offend my neighbors. You're going to offend people. They're not going to like it very much. But who cares? We're not going to be here that long. We're going to be out of here in the twinkling of an eye. The thing is, my friend, if you're here and you're not saved, to you there's something else even worse. God doesn't play around. We might think this is a game, but it's not a game. Most religions like to look at it as it's a joke, but it's not a joke. Everything what he says in the scriptures is true. And those who don't get saved, it's going to be worse. It's not only going to be out of darkness, but it's going to be a fire. A fire that won't be quenched. And God doesn't want to send you there. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't think that it's an easy thing for the Lord to call you a fool. Don't go that route. You don't want the Lord to call you a fool or slow of heart to believe. You have to be fast on your feet. You got to think outside the box. You need to realize that Jesus Christ paid for all your sins. And that He can save you even right now, even while you're sitting in your chair. All you have to do is call upon Him. Realize that He paid for all your sins. Realize that you're a sinner. Realize that you cannot save yourself and no religion can save you. And realize that only Jesus can save you. That's why the prophets, that's why Andrew, that's why Peter and everyone said that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. Peter also says that to him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So my message to you is, if you're not saved, why don't you have a little talk with Jesus? Amen. Just like Andrew did. He had a little talk with him and he was convinced. If you would spend some time with the Lord, you would also be convinced. Just like I spent a little time in jail reading His Word, I was convinced. There was no doubt in my mind. I understood that this was the Word of God, and I was an ignorant kid. You have no excuse. You're not ignorant. Ask the Lord to save your soul this day. And for those of you who have not used your gift, I want you to take this as an admonition from the Lord. God doesn't take it very lightly. We are not to just be bench warmers. There is a time to sit. There's a time to stand. There's a time to fight. There's a time for everything, the Bible says. But we're in the last days. You don't have time no more just to waste. You need to put your faith and trust in the Lord and tell somebody about Jesus. I'm going to open up the altar. If you're not saved, you can come here. You can ask the Lord to save your soul. If you don't know how to do it, or you still have doubts, you can come and talk to me, and I'll put somebody to talk to you. And for those of you who have neglected the gift that God has given you, you can also repent. The bad news, beloved, is that God will come and he will require it at your hands. The good news is that he hasn't come yet. You still have time. Don't waste any more time. We're going to stand up and sing 253. The altar is open.